Hello and welcome to the What We've Watched podcast. My name is Chris.
This is Evan.
And this is episode 384. And this week, Beyond the Black Rainbow.
So this is continuing with the, we've sort of been doing like, we inadvertently
It's our Beyond series.
Yeah, thank you. We sort of inadvertently noticed the first couple of months this year that we had been having a movie with Beyond in the title a couple of times, and so we were just like, let's just continue to do that.
Yeah.
A movie and with Beyond in the title.
You put together this really good list of like, a bunch of like, what I think are going to be just great movies for us to do for this.
Hopefully.
And so last time we did
Battle Beyond the Stars.
Battle Beyond the Stars.
So, well, this has been kind of like, not really on like, list per se, but like on kind of a more long-term list of like, we should get around to this at some point.
I've been meaning to watch this movie for a long time.
Well, because it's ever since we did Mandy, because this was the previous.
Yeah. Well, I've been meaning to watch this since before that.
I know. But especially Mandy, since then.
Yeah.
So yeah, Beyond the Black Rainbow was written and directed by Panos Cosmatos. Apparently released first in December 2010 at the Whistler Film Festival.
Yeah.
Before a U.S. release in September 2012. Yeah. So it's usually called a 2010 film.
Yeah.
But
he's a Canadian director, and this movie was filmed in Vancouver.
So the fact
that it was in the Whistler Film Festival, not super surprising, I guess. I guess this movie is sort of semi-famous, if not just for its.
I definitely it got some attention. And,
which is understandable considering how like art piece it is in some ways.
Yeah.
Very distinct. You know, it was his first thing. I think the original reception of the movie was sort of mid, and then like over time it has gained popularity
a little bit, but it's still, if you're just looking at like critical reviews and stuff like that, it's still not super high, but you know, it was a starting point. I loved it because, you know, this is definitely my type of cup of tea.
Really, really great sci-fi weirdness. Super like, this is vibes based filmmaking right here.
I absolutely love Mandy.
Yeah,
like really
again,
love Mandy.
Very like,
and so I wasn't expecting, because it's kind of like a step backward, I wasn't necessarily expecting it to be on that level, which you know, it's not. It's definitely
You could see how you get to Mandy from here,
but it's
here,
the
right?
same definitely the same kind of
vibe.
And like, when the thing that I sort of said about Mandy when we saw it was that what really gets me, and the reason, one of the reasons I like his films, is that I guess I can say his films now, because now that I've actually seen both of them, the thing I really like is that I'm also like a big David Lynch fan, and I made the comparison at that time that not that his films, Panos Cosmatos' films, are not anything like Lynch's films.
No.
But they're similar in only the sense that this is the complete realization of a very singular vision and a director's and filmmaker's like mind coming out onto a film and being put out into the world. For good or ill. So, like, the thing I really loved...
A lot of very, like, clearly, like, personal elements, personal inspirations, stuff
like
that.
For sure. And I mean, there is a lot of that here. But, like, it's also, you know, there's a lot of influences at play, too.
Oh,
like,
for sure.
Like, clearly things that... I mean, I love the story about what led to this movie... Or at least this being his first film, was this idea that as a kid, he would go to the video store.
Yeah, I read this.
And, like, he wouldn't be allowed to watch all the like horror and like
But he
would browse the store and look at the covers and stuff like that, yeah. and he would imagine like what those movies might have been like.
Yeah.
And so this is like his attempt to make mm-hmm. one of those, you know, even down to
because he ended up having like a couple of different like ideas for a movie from that, yeah. and then he just sort of combined them yeah. into this
and
one.
And even sort yeah. of down to the whole kind of 80s thing.
Yeah.
The whole sort of retro thing.
It takes place in 1983, which is yeah. it also looks like it was filmed in like
in many cases. Yeah, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's some stuff that's very particularly like has that real dated sort of you know, because there's like the opening with the sort of film of
the
Arboria kind of like
the advertisement
basically what it is, which is very kind of period-ish.
The way the lighting is done, the way the again that was inspired by other stuff a lot yeah. of
I mean there's definitely
well even setting it in 1983 because yeah. he thought like setting it 1 year before 1984 yeah, yeah, yeah. was funny like
yeah, yeah. 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 it's kind of like making the film of 1984 in 1984
yeah yeah exactly yeah.
which is always I think was really funny mm-hmm. But no like it yeah there's clearly influences at play but mm-hmm. but like they're so filtered through a very particular vision you know mm-hmm. like no one else would take the same influences and do it the same way.
Yeah.
Like, it's a very distinctive
realization. You could take all the plot beats, notes, everything what, like, this movie, like, happens in this movie, and stop. Give it to somebody else, the movie would be so completely different.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't have, like, the visual elements alone of his like, again, like you say, his singular, yeah. like, hyper focus
yeah, yeah.
on how he's going to do the presentation right from the beginning where right after the ad because yeah. we get the bit with like it starts with we get the credits
yeah, yeah
and then it's the eyeball and then how it and then how that is filmed is then just used like that styling is used in the rest of it
yeah the way color is yeah. used
The flashback scene
yeah,
when they go back to 66 and yeah. like the original like sort of like yeah, the yeah. origin story of how it's all
yeah,
is
just that completely like
looks high, hyper high contrast yeah
almost just white
yeah that's actually it's inspired like by from another film that the entire it's this horror yeah. film that
yeah I heard that, that but, way. But
yeah I've seen bits and pieces of that movie
yeah but I mean
it is that same sort of thing but it but again it's all like the way you the camera will be or the visual effect or whatever it is often like sometimes you're not even sure what it is you're looking at
yeah.
and then like it looks like it's going to sort of bring it into focus or pull out in such a way but then it's like it's already moved on to something else and so you're kind of left wondering like where was I where am I going sometimes should I even be looking at this is weird
yeah.
you know I mean it's full of the weirdness that I like.
Yeah.
It's well, full of like strange stuff so with no answers
apparently
you know.
There's a lot of like a lot of the inspiration, in addition to sort of, you know, like obviously just mm-hmm. other things that you know were influences, but like a lot of the sort of internal inspiration came from his parents because mm. his mom was like a, she's from Sweden,
I think, yeah,
and she was a sculptor, and apparently like her work was kind of described as sort of like, more kind of experimental and kind of haunting kind of, you know, sculpture mm. sort of avant-garde art in that sense, right? And she had passed in, like, the 90s after, like, having, like, a long battle with cancer and stuff like that. And then, of course, his dad was known for, like, these very kind of, like, straightforward, like, popcorn movie type yeah. movies, you yeah. know? And so, you know, he... And then his dad had also had passed by this point, mm-hmm. By the point that he started making films himself. And well, kind of. He had done a little bits and pieces of things before, but this is obviously his yeah. first feature. So he took kind of inspiration from both sides and sort of like his parent, he wanted the movie to kind of be like a little bit of, like, taking the spirit of his parents and, like, what they sort of instilled in him and putting that out. Because, I mean, see, because if you look at, like, the actual, like, premise and even really, like, plot, it's actually, like, very straightforward.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, it's not, there's not a lot of, like, extraneous, like, what was that about? Like, it's very kind of just... Like, it's kind of
all that stuff is there, but it's all, like, so... It's beneath, like,
the actual story is, like, in terms of, like, the story beats of, like, this happens, and then this happens, and this happens, and this happens. It's quite, like, straightforward and simple.
It's a, it's a linear, makes sense story.
Yeah, it's pretty straightforward and simple.
Especially once you get to the, sort of, the last,
and
like, half hour, it plays out very much like that, you know?
Yeah,
like,
and so that was kind of, you know, the influence from his father. And then, you know, the more... experimental side would be like more like the influence from his mother. I really liked the actor that was like the, I guess you'd call it sort of like the villain, like the main like the main doctor there. Like that was
a pretty Barry.
Barry
Nile,
That's the character,
Michael Rogers.
He was like really good. I looked up his filmography and like he's mostly just done a lot of like small
He has a look.
Yeah, he has a look, but, like, he's mostly, like, he's done a lot of work, but mostly, like, very small parts, like, little bit parts in TV shows and movies and stuff, and, like, not too much, like, big.
Yeah.
You know, but obviously, you know, I mean, he's going on, he was going with mostly, like, local, you know, like, he, he was very much, you know, it's like a $1 million movie, like, all kind of. Done locally through
Vancouver. Which is pretty impressive actually that that this was done in, for $1 million I think
I mean he obviously I mean they made use they made clever use of existing like locations like the big sort of dome thing is like an actual place
and
they just
got well that's just
permission
the
to film there and you know things like that
that's so. What I was like because, like, before I knew that it was filmed in Vancouver, because that comes up in the credits at the end, I was like, when she, because she goes through the thing, and then she goes into the, and I was like, that really looks a lot like the conservatory in Vancouver, and...
Yeah, so, like, you know, there, there's, it's like, they make clever use of, you know, obviously there are certain things that had to, would have been built, like, you know, the... A lot of the sort of, well, I guess like the little pyramid thing.
That, some of the set stuff that, in particular, some of the costumes.
But yeah, like it just, I mean, it's, I would definitely, it's one of those things where like with Mandy, I can kind of like unreservedly recommend that to anyone as long as they're not somebody who would be turned off by like, you know, like the violence or like some of the creepy stuff. But like, with this movie, this is definitely not one of those, like, I'd recommend to anyone kind of movies, because there is a particular...
I mean, first off, like...
It's extremely slow.
You have to be in for, like, the... Like, a burn so slow, it's possibly unburning.
And that's...
It's possibly...
And again, I mean, that is, even though their styles are extremely different, that is another similarity with Lynch, is that, like, you can often watch David Lynch movies and go through long periods of time where you're just like...
But
like, it, what is going on? Like, nothing's happening. I'm just watching nothing.
The whole time, I was so intrigued by what they were showing me. It was really like, it wasn't until like about the midpoint, I paused it just to take a break for a sec. And I was like, this is a bit slow-paced. But I was so like I hyper-focused in on what was happening.
I was actually kind of wondering while watching it, because I was like, I was sort of wondering what you'd make of it, because I was like, I know you're...
Oh, just immediately captured me.
And I know you are kind of open to this sort of stuff at this point, you know, maybe more so than you might have been at another time in your life.
Oh, for sure, for sure. Yeah,
but, like, I wasn't sure if, like, I was like, this one might be a one step too far for Chris. I was a little worried.
I think
but
didn't...
Yeah, I was completely captivated, much more so than probably almost anything that I've seen recently in terms of, like... You know, because my attention span and my ability to focus and stuff like that has gotten getting much worse as I get older. And a lot of times when I'm watching something, like, it's very hard to focus and just sit and watch things.
Don't pick up the phone. Don't.
It's very easy to just start being like, what else can I get done while this is playing? Or, you know, Or like, well, what's happening in the world? And yeah, like, let's check the news while this is playing. Or, you know, like, it's very easy to
just... I just always put my phone out of reach when I'm doing stuff like this. It's not just the
phone, though. I mean, it could be anything. It could be like, let's open another tab, you know? Whatever, right? Like, it's there's so many... Or like, let's pick up this book or like, you know, whatever it is. Like, there's so many distractions in the in life and the world, you know? Like, let's go and, you know, get something to eat or drink or whatever, right? And, I mean, that's part of the reason why, like, there's this whole shift towards, like, people, you know, and we've had this conversation a lot recently, well, not recently, but just over the last years and stuff, but the shift of people watching more at home and, you know, like, being like, oh, I want to have the comfort of, you know, being able to sit in my own home and not have, you know, people being loud or annoying to do this or having to do that. And like some of the annoyances of going to the theater.
I can pause this, go to the bathroom.
But for me, I still love to go to the theater. I don't as much as I did when I was younger, obviously, just because it's just not practical, really.
But, well, for me, it was always the big part of... is something that always bugged me about the theater, except when I was really young. I had a lot more free time. It was just like, I can go see a movie. That's 2 hours. Plus time to get there, time to get back, plus I got to get there. So now going to a movie is 4 hours. Yeah. I don't have 4 hours to watch a movie. Well, I have 2 hours to watch a movie, you know.
Fair enough. I mean, I just go to the theater. That's like 10 minutes away from my house.
But you still, that's 10 minute walk either way. Plus you have to get there, you know, a certain amount of time beforehand. In any plus, case, you know,
the point is that like I still really appreciate the theater because it's the only time that I can just completely be immersed and not worry about other things and not be distracted by the rest of the world around. Because at home, it's way too much distraction.
Yeah. I just try to set myself up in such a way where I'm, you know, not every movie. Some movies I'm like, if I'm slightly distracted during this movie, it's not going to matter.
Well,
you
that's know, the thing.
But this one, I wanted to double down in on.
Yeah.
And so
I, in many cases, it doesn't. And that's why, like, it's not something that I necessarily worry that much about.
Yeah.
But it is something that I notice.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, I was like,
well,
I was glued in. It helped a lot. In.
Honestly,
I barely even looked away. I barely blinked.
If this movie hadn't started with the weird, you know, like we said, like the very like appropriately timed, like time placed like that like fake ad at the beginning, I think I may have taken me longer to warm up to the pacing. Like if it had just started with the zoom in on her eye credits bit and then the movie there, I would have been all right. But that putting that right at the beginning immediately had my brain asking so many questions. I was just like, all right. You've got me. Show me what you got. You know, like I was immediately like that, and so like I said, I didn't even really notice it was slow, or like the pacing was kind of slow until at a certain point when I paused it, and I was like, this actually kind of isn't, you know. And then I realized at a point like, oh, I don't think that is this kind of movie. Like, the slow pacing is not it's not even necessarily because it isn't really like. Like they're not slow pacing and building up to big action. Like it is kind of just a slow paced movie from beginning to end. You know, there's a few brief scenes of intensity, but that's like 30 seconds, you know, a minute here or there where, you know, just because somebody is moving slightly quicker than a slow walk, like you're suddenly like, it's action time, you know. You know, or like when he sends out the weird, what I thought initially was like some kind of weird robot, the Sensonaut, and, you know, then that freaky reveal at the end, that was weird and crazy. And
yeah, I mean, they're described as like, what was
some
it?
Kind of like zombie.
Artificial bioform
kept in
storage at the Arboria Institute. Whatever that means.
Yeah, again, description with no but with no explanation. Like so much the rest of this movie.
I mean, the only thing I could think was that like maybe
all you get is visual and no.
Because I was like, oh, maybe that's because like since they're not like actually like human per se, then that like they're not susceptible to, like, their ability, like, for example, Elena's abilities. But, like, they always, he just has the...
Well, that's, that, like, controls the, the pyramid, the triangle, and then the pyramid thing, can knock people out.
And
the arbitrary knob, the pyramid, that just does what he needs it to. The pyramid
clearly prevents her from using her powers. When he, so, I don't know.
Or just straight up knocking her out at one point, but
Yeah, well, it's, like, disruptive, I guess, in some way, but it seems like...
Well, because, like, that's sort of, like, that is probably the most, like, quote unquote, like, part of the movie that really, like, kicks it up a notch is the bit where, like, she's she kills the nurse there, and then she's leaving, and then, like, the music kicks off, and it, like, starts, it's like, oh, it's like music video time, almost, like, it gets really, like, kind of a bit more, and I think it's mostly because, like, the way the lighting and the music go make it feel a little bit more intense then, but again, it's still a, like, a very, you know, short sequence, and then...
But, like, he keeps... Because obviously, like, he has it active when he's, like, dealing with her.
Yeah.
Because, obviously, I think that... I mean, he's deliberately trying... I mean, he's deliberately trying to provoke, like, emotional responses.
Yeah.
So, to do so and then be like, oh, it's like, well, you don't want to be the victim of that.
Yeah, yeah.
So then when the whole thing happens with the... when he finds out that the nurse found the files there. Right. And then so basically he clearly decides, like, well, she's got to go.
Yeah.
And so, but, like, I love the fact that he sets it up so that he basically sets up a confrontation
with
her and Elena and turns off the...
Yes.
Thing
lets her powers go,
the pyramid, and so Elena's able to kill the nurse with her powers, and then, like, because I thought it was interesting the whole, like, how she escapes, and that didn't seem to be set up, because when he comes back and she's gone,
he doesn't know she's
gone.
That
seems to be a genuine response. Well, like, I think, holy crap, that is, she's gone, and then he goes out to, like,
her escaping is I think she's able... it appears she uses her powers to open the door.
Right.
In the same way she uses her powers to, like, change the TV.
And so at first I was like, but, like, wouldn't he have left, like, the pyramid active so that it would disrupt her and keep her from being able to do that? But it seems like it was kind of kicked off by... Because when finding out that, from the flashback, that she's the
daughter's
daughter.
Yeah.
And then when... what's the Barry? When Barry kills Arborea, and she seems to, like, feel it, through.
Well, like, there's, like, this,
like,
weird
she reacts, like, she senses it happening.
There's some kind of psychic connection between all of them, because when he goes down to see, like, the doctor, who's now old, like, from the original Dr. Arborea, and he gives him the drug, she feels it, and then he feels it after she feels it. And so, like, there's this all big... Because they're all sort of connected via, like... Well, his experience in the black goo, whatever that was. And, you know... her escape scene led to one of the best... One of my favorite, like, sort of cuts in the movie is when she's going down and she takes that one block, like, weird panel block off the wall. And then she goes into, like, that elevator shaft or whatever, and how it just goes from being like weird lighting, stark white everything, like, so, like, this kind of weird, like claustrophobic, both like in space and, like, kind of like claustrophobic on your eyes, and then she opens it and he goes in there, and it's just this brightly lit plain concrete, like, call, and it's such a stark, it's almost like they went from black and white to color, like that kind of, like, flip of, and it was just like, it was so, I was so not expecting that. And I was like, whoa, like, it has this weird, like, shift all of a sudden. And then she, you know, crosses around, goes the other side, and she finds, like, one of the, like, original, like, experiment guys, like, all just, like, he's like a zombie or something. Again, no explanation, just weirdness. And it was so just, and I was like, it actually reminded me a bit of like the Portal 2 kind of thing, where you're like, oh, it's this like pristine facility, and then like, what's this crack in the wall? And it's just like, oh, it's all just like concrete and pipes behind it, and it's just like normal, regular stuff in it, instead of being this like, you know, hyper saturated, you know. Yeah. I guess it was the saturation changes so much. Yeah. You know, and then again, when she goes, well, she goes through that thing, and then she goes out, and then she's in just like a break room for like, I'm like, for what employees is this? Nobody appears to work here. I mean, maybe at one time?
I think, yeah, or maybe, well, yeah, definitely. I mean, considering, especially considering, like, the technology and the, like, what they're able to do there.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like, because the whole, like, the flasher thing was, like, in the 60s.
Yeah, it was 66.
And you definitely get the feeling, like, if you look at that room and, like, that couch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, like, everything it all looks there, like, you definitely get the feel that basically, like,
well, this is preserved in time, kind of.
It's kind of preserved in time, like, in the sense that this was probably a bustling at that time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because, you know, part of the whole thing is this comment on New Agey.
Kind of,
like, the whole sort of, you know, and then the counter movement that you always get with the sort of like hippie New Agey kind of stuff, and then like the conservative movement that comes in, you know, in response to that. I mean, and we're even seeing that sort of thing now. You know,
and, well, every few years, right?
Yeah, it just like, kind of cycles like around and around and around, because they have like the Reagan footage.
Oh, here, yes, yeah, yeah. Right?
Which is, you know, true to the period.
Like, yeah, yeah.
But like, it underscores that theme of, you know, that Dr. Arborea is like this whole New Agey kind of like, we're gonna create this whole new you know, and like uses of psychedelics and that whole kind of era, and that whole kind of like ideal of just like, oh yeah, we're gonna go back to like nature, and we're gonna you know,
well, it's all like it's about what's, you know, not what's happening in the world, but it's what's happening in your soul and all this stuff.
That kind of thing. So, like, you know, it sort of reminded me a little bit of, like, how, you know, with Mandy, where you had the sort of the cult, right? Like, it's that sort of similar.
Well, after last week, I was like, oh, another cult!
Yeah. But it's, like, a similar sort of thing of, like, you know, gathering people, like, having this idea that, like, oh, like, what if we do this? Like, oh, we can really, like, make this world, you know, blah, 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 and then gathering people together. So, like, I think that the idea was that at one point it would have been more staffed, and it would have been, like, a bustling. But, like, now it's kind of, you know, because we don't know how long has Arborea been in the state that he's in.
Yeah.
Where, like, he's clearly, like, not quite all there, and he's not able to physically. Well, and it seems like Barry's been kind of running things.
We get, you know. Well, the thing is we get the, because it says it's 1983, then they run the ad.
Yeah.
But the ad is clearly.
Yeah, because he's younger.
Yeah, yeah. So the movie clearly takes place after 1983 some point, but we don't know how much before, like, after. Like, not super, but, like, definitely still 80s. But they don't
I think the film from the beginning was supposed to be from the 60s. It was supposed to be from when they started.
Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, okay. Because it says 1983, then shows the ad. Like, I know, literally the first things on the screen are 1983.
I know, but it's clearly, but that does make
more sense, not, because he's because of his age.
The 83 was just establishing the time period of the movie.
Yeah, and actually, it does actually kind of make sense. That ad does come across as maybe a little more like mid-70s, early 70s.
And so, like, you know, so we don't know exactly how long, like, has it been in this sort of weird decline. We don't know how long that Barry's been kind of, well, I mean, presumably probably since not too long after, you know, everything went down, whatever, 66 or whatever that was.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because, you know, when he came back...
Yeah.
As it were.
Yeah.
From beyond the Black Rainbow, as it were.
Yeah, yeah.
Obviously, he was different.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point would have... Because, I mean, he killed the mother, right?
He killed
Elena's mother. And so, I mean, like, I think that he, definitely he... if he wasn't sort of seizing control immediately at that point, he definitely would have been setting the seeds for it. And, you know, he's been doing this a long time. I mean, they...
beginning to wonder at a certain point, like, after they showed the 66 footage, I was beginning to wonder at a certain point, like, is Barry actually even Barry? Is that, like, somebody else in Barry's body? And then they do the thing where he goes and, like, where he goes and takes his hair off, and that caught me by surprise. And then I was like, oh, and then it's just like, oh, no, he's just been so radically changed by his experience it's, you know...
Yeah, because then, like, because his wife has the whole bit where she's like, because at first you're just like, oh, man, like, how's she going to react to, like, his appearance?
Yeah.
And then, like, she reacts to it.
For a bit, I was like, I wasn't sure if Rosemary was supposed to be his wife or his mom.
Supposed to be his wife.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And I was like, initially, because I was like, because she looks a little bit older than him. And I was like, oh, is that... And then it was like, oh no, and then it kind of became evident. It's just like, oh no, and
you know, because I was a bit surprised where, like, the way that she reacts to his appearance, she's like, be like, oh, you remove your appliances and blah, blah. And it's like, I haven't seen you like that in so long.
Yeah. Because he takes his contacts out.
I'm like, okay, so she actually knows
that something
what he
happened
really
to
looks
him.
Like.
Yeah. Probably doesn't know what happened to him, but...
I don't think anybody really does.
Yeah, well, oh,
maybe,
well, yeah.
Maybe Arborea, kind of, but... Yeah. Even he seemed a little bit kind of... He didn't really know the full extent of whatever it was.
Yeah.
But... So I was like, well, that's kind of weird that, like... So, like, I was like, do other people know? Like, just... Because it's like, no one seemed to know, like, how, like twisted he was, you know, like obviously he was creepy, but like, hey, like
he kept it to
lots of people are creepy. I mean,
his life seemed to revolve around going to work, coming home, going to work, coming home.
Yeah.
Like, they don't seem to expound upon that.
Yeah.
In any way,
but it's like they you know, obviously something changed. There's some, because like now all of a sudden it's like, he's just killing everybody that that he has any interaction with basically, you know?
It's almost like he was like this was the final stage in, like the project. Like, okay, time to pull the plug on everything and just
Speaking of pulling the plug, literally pulling the plug on Dr. Arborea.
Yeah,
it's like he presumably could have done that at any point.
Yeah.
Like,
but there was some tipping point here.
Yeah.
When Amelia uses her powers to kill.
Yeah.
That seemed to be
because
the tipping
his satisfaction
point. Yeah,
with
yeah.
it. So
yeah.
seemed to be he seemed to be, take great satisfaction.
It seemed to be like, okay, we're now at the point, like, we can proceed from here.
And
kind
one
of
the
thing.
Sessions there, earlier on, there was a scene where he's marking down in his files about, like, trying to elicit emotional response or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's that bit where she, like, starts to cry a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's like and he's like very impressed with that.
Yeah. He marks a little box.
So like
yeah.
it could be that maybe like he has like all the years that he'd been working with her, he hadn't been able to get any response out of her.
Something like that.
And this
that.
Was like the first time, and maybe that's what changed things.
Mm-hmm.
And that basically whatever he wanted from her, because of course he had all these weird like psychosexual like obsessions with her too.
Yeah. Well, which was like from he had the same things with her mother, right?
Yeah.
And then
so like whether it was just a matter of like that was the end game or like what in terms of the actual end game was, no idea. But it definitely seemed that we were seeing the final stages of like, okay, something's definitely changed.
Yeah.
Like, it's reached a certain point where it's just like, okay, it's time to, like, wrap this up. And, you know, he kills Arborea, he kills his wife, he kills random heavy metal dudes in the woods.
Oh, the stoners in the woods. Yeah.
Which was weird because I was like...
It was really out of nowhere.
That scene definitely does not need to be there.
It was
a scene
strange.
That seemed to be there only to kind of, like... get that sort of like horror movie.
It definitely felt a little out of place.
Slasher vibe kind of like.
Because it's so close to the end.
It's well done, but it was just.
It's so close to the end.
Yeah.
And then the end is so abrupt from there.
Yeah.
That it was very much just like, oh, was that just like like a pacing thing, just to so that it so it wasn't such a just a head-on confrontation.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it was just a matter of just like, well, you know, that's the other ingredient.
Yeah.
And maybe he was like, I don't know if I'm ever going to get a chance to make another movie, so
I'm
just going to put everything in here.
All the ideas.
And you have to have the scene where, like, the horror villain, you know, kills off some random people that got in his way, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it was just that. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was definitely the one thing that kind of stood out as kind of like, that's weird because it has nothing to do with any of the rest of the, of you know.
Yeah. Yeah, because then it goes to just the final bit with where he runs into her. And then it's she just, like, kind of, like, pins him in place. And then when he, like, lunges for her, because he can't move his feet, he just kind of falls over, hits a rock, and dies. And it's just like...
Well, kind of anticlimactic.
Like,
but
it was. But one of the, like,
in the
like,
best way.
Yeah.
It was just, like, that checks out.
There you
out.
Go. Yeah.
That fits.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's
after
it's,
all going through, like, all going through everything that they went through.
That's how it goes sometimes.
Yeah, as Kurt Vonnegut would say, so it goes.
Yeah, so it goes. Yeah, you do.
You know, like, going through all of that and all of the, like, trauma and messed up stuff and all the other people that
it's
were
the thing
killed.
You don't get in action movies enough is where, like, the good guy and the bad guy are going to have the huge confrontation. Except that guy didn't show up. Accidentally fell and banged his head in the shower that morning. Never made it. You don't see that in movies, you know? Totally could happen.
Kind of anticlimactic. That's the problem. But in this, it fits so well.
Because
it was just like, you know...
It's the kind of thing you'd see in Fargo, I think. Like, that's the sort of the weird, like...
Yeah, it's
like,
got that like Coen
where, yeah, that Coen,
kind of thing where basically things just happen.
Well, like, some kind of, like, very mundane, real-life event that could happen to anyone happens to characters in a movie where that normally never happens to those kind of characters.
And just in, like, inconvenient times.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're just like, well, wait a minute.
Yeah.
That's... Yeah. But, I mean, it's very anticlimactic, but you know what? Like,
it works.
It works perfectly for this type of movie.
Because what would have been some just, like, weird, long, drawn-out, like, battle of wills, or just, like, or he kills her, or, like, none of it. Like, this was...
Well, he didn't seem to have, like, you know, mind power. So,
no,
like,
no.
Like,
just had that weird knife.
What was he going to do? Like, he wasn't going to... I don't even know what his plan was at that point.
Yeah. No, well, his plan was he wanted her to come with him, right?
Other than the fact that, like, obviously there's a bit where he establishes about, like, his whole, like, confidence.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, well, that's great to be confident, but, if you're out in, you know, out in the open and you don't have any way to stop her from using her abilities and you know that she can use them now.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to win, buddy.
No.
You're not going to win.
It's not happening.
Like, sorry.
That's just, it's not how that rolls.
Yeah. And doing it in a subtle way.
Well, he wasn't, I don't think he was there to fight her. He wanted her to come with him.
Also,
and then
he was meant to be, because this is something also I saw, like, in a lot of different descriptions of, like, you know, like the character breakdowns and the synopses and all that stuff. He was meant to be like he'd gone nuts.
Oh yeah, clearly like not insane.
So I mean, like in that regard, it's like you can't always you don't expect logical thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like you know, he was very clever in many ways, and he was like he set things up in such a way. But like you know, he wasn't.
Well, basically, sort of ever since like the catalyst of what happens in the film, like, puts him in the mindset that he was kind of like destined for the way he had been going. Yeah. And it was like the trigger, right?
Well,
and then,
you know, it's like I always say about like, cause like Lex Luthor is portrayed in various ways in different media and stuff, but in the comics, especially, Lex Luthor is literally the smartest human being in existence, like in the world, but he still loses all the time. And he loses because of himself, because he's also nuts.
Yeah.
He is insane and he undermines himself.
Yeah.
Well, by the fact that his madness overwhelms his intelligence.
It's always the...
And
it's
he can't
the,
help himself.
The character who always, like, overvalues intelligence and undervalues wisdom. Or, like, that kind of thing,
so,
right?
So, like, he gets to a certain point on the strength of the intelligence.
Yeah.
And then at a certain point, he basically just it all falls apart.
Yeah.
He undermines himself because of his madness.
Yeah.
And I feel like Barry is similar, like... He's obviously smart and clever and has set up this whole scheme. But in the end, he's also nuts.
Yeah, yeah.
So you can't necessarily expect...
He doesn't realize that his, like, endgame is completely, like, not going to happen.
Yeah, right? And also, like, you can't expect completely logical decisions, right?
Yeah, yeah. No, it all falls apart. Yeah.
So that worked for me.
Yeah.
And I think that the subtlety of, like, the fact that it wasn't this big battle, he wasn't, like, you know, like, slashing around with his knife... And, or, you know, she wasn't doing, like, scanner stuff, like making heads explode or making him fly.
It wasn't that kind of movie,
making
right?
his body fly around or, like, you know, not that there's anything wrong with that. In another kind of movie, that's great. But for this movie, the subtlety of just, no, he just fixing him in place and he can't move his feet, you know, and then he just falls and hits his head. Like, the subtlety of that was so perfect for this movie.
Yeah.
Because anything else would have just been... And I mean, that's not to say, like, if they had done something a little more...
Well, whatever they had done was what they would have done, right?
Yeah, I probably still would have been like, okay, that's fine.
But I'm going to say, if they had done something else,
yeah,
I wouldn't have thought of this as the alternative.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's a good way
That's
to
what
it.
I think makes this the better thing. Because
it's more inspired.
Exactly. Because when you see an ending or any kind of plot point to a movie, and you think, oh, that could have gone a bunch of different ways.
Yeah.
But then you think, but the way it went is not the way I ever would. Then you're like, that is the real, like,
It's more
that
inspired.
That singular inspired focus that the whole movie has.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I really, really liked it.
Yep.
Absolutely. Not as much as Mandy, but that's how things are supposed to work. Mm. This was his first movie.
Yeah.
Mandy is his second movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it's supposed to work. You get better, you get more, you know, like people who like, oh, their first movie was their best movie. Oh, well,
yeah.
Great.
You know, it's always
So just down here down from here, like that's no good.
I mean you never know until it's too late and the guy's done like 10 movies and you're like, well, he never really did reach the heights of that first one.
So the fact that his second movie was better is good. That's how it should work. Mm-hmm. But that being said,
plugging away on his third movie, which will still probably a few years out.
But that
he likes to take his time.
But that being said,
I mean 8 years between
this
and that, this and Mandy, so could be another three. So could be three or more years before we get in.
Yeah, who knows?
I think it's like Necrocosm is what it's called.
I mean, that's what the announcement.
But
was.
It's been in the works like since basically like before.
Isn't that since 2022 that he was working with A24?
Yeah. Just a couple years after.
The article that I saw the announcement was like talking about like, oh, it was like Everything Everywhere All at Once was in theaters. And
yeah,
blah, blah,
yeah.
And I was like, okay, well, that was a while ago.
Yeah.
So who knows? He did an episode also of the Guillermo del Toro anthology series.
Yes. I don't think I've seen that one. Or did I see that one? I think I didn't watch that whole thing. I think I've got like two episodes left, so I'm not sure if I've watched
it. I haven't seen any of it. I kind of forgot it existed.
Yeah, it's very good. It's very good. Like, I liked every episode I saw.
All right, well.
And I was fully expecting, okay, anthology, there's going to be some highs and lows.
Sure.
And I was like, oh, it's only like good and really good. And okay. So I was like,
well,
yeah. There you But yeah.
But yeah, I haven't seen any of that, but he did an episode of that. And then, he supposedly has a third movie in development.
Mm-hmm.
But who knows? No need to rush.
No.
Because, I don't.
Yeah.
I want to see
when it's done.
The full unfettered Thanos Cosmatos. I don't need to see a watered down version.
Yeah, exactly.
Apparently, it was DVD. DVD royalties from Tombstone is like allowed. Yeah, because he basically inherited it from his dad, right?
Oh, wow. That's what
allowed him to make this film.
Wow.
Because that movie is
so
successful.
That's crazy.
That movie was so successful.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, yeah.
And so that was like the main.
Cool, right?
Yeah.
No, definitely. I'm really glad we finally got around to doing it. But definitely in the boat, like you said, like, I wouldn't recommend this in the same way I would recommend Mandy. It's definitely sort of a little more eclectic in that regard. But
Leviathan.
Leviathan, that's it.
That was the other underwater creature movie from 1989 that was not The Abyss.
Oh, Leviathan. It sounds very familiar.
I haven't seen it, but that was... Yeah. I was looking at, like, other stuff that is directed by... His father by George Cosmatos.
Yes. Okay. Just looking up the episode of Cabinet of Curiosities that Panatos does.
You have seen it?
Yeah, I have seen it.
Okay.
And now watching This.
Yeah. You can see the connection.
Oh, huge. Huge. Very much so. Very much so. Yeah. Yeah. It definitely has a lot more in common with this than like Mandy does. Yeah. Yeah.
Even so, though, I mean, they are pretty similar in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. but yeah.
But yeah. So yeah, so that's it for this week.
There we go. Crossed off lists.
Yeah.
We have another Beyond movie down, and we have Beyond the Black Rainbow finally down.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whatever, 5+ years after, probably 6 years after Mandy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it was, and Mandy, like, was 2018, right? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 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 And like, however long, 14 years after, well, I guess,
13 years after. Yeah.
After this was out, yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember people telling me about this and being not like specifics. Like, I had no idea of any specifics.
The same podcast that I heard good things about this was the same podcast I heard good things about The Endless. Because they both came out around the same time.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I knew that there was something about a girl with like abilities in like a lab and getting out at some point.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. See, you knew more than I did. I went into this knowing zilch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't really talk about it.
Just and I deliberately didn't watch any trailers or anything for this. So,
but I didn't know any specifics about like what it was like or anything else that happens.
Yeah.
So, you know, people told me about it, but they didn't tell me about it like in specifics. Mm-hmm. Like, well, first this happens, and then this happens, and then there's a part where this happens. Yeah. It's like, not like that. But they just told me like, oh, there's this movie, you know, Beyond the Black Rainbow and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, it might be interesting.
Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's it for this week. We will be back next week with a top five.
Top five.
And until then, I'm Chris.
This is Emmett.
Cheers.
Bye-bye.